a single male porn star, except, of course, everyone knows, like, Rocco, because that's the only one you hear about, or I guess Ron Jeremy you did hear about.
Repped by Dante from Golden Artist Entertainment.
Really?
Well, they dropped him only when it got too hot.
Yeah. I don't know any other... When you watch porn, and we'll just jump right into porn.
I don't watch porn.
You don't?
No.
Ever? When did you stop?
I never started. And it's a joke I do on stage saying I don't watch porn even though it looks like I produce it. It's because it's the close-ups, digital clarity. I don't need to see a girl's private parts.
Wait, digital clarity? What do you mean?
Like, you're a beautiful woman.
Thank you.
No, you really are. You're one of the prettiest women I know. However, I would not want to see your no-no area.
My pussy up close?
After, like, Randolph has worked it for an hour.
Oh, so, like, you don't want to see the cum shot.
Well, it's not necessarily
what's
that.
What's that called?
Yeah, the money shot.
No, but what is it? What's that term?
The money shot.
When, like, the cum comes out?
The money shot.
Yeah, but isn't there, like, another, like, sexual term for it in the porn world? Producers?
I wouldn't know. Okay. These guys would know.
I know. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah,
I'm telling you it's the money shot.
Okay.
I love how I said I don't watch porn and I'm telling
you.
Well,
I feel like you just know. Or like
cream pie.
What is it? Cream pie, cream pie, cream pie.
Yeah. Well, I always assimilate cream pie. I can hear my spots drying up for this week. with like multiple guys doing it.
Oh, okay.
So.
I feel like a cream pie is just a close up of like the cum falling out of the pussy.
You know, I'll leave that to your knowledge.
I don't know. I've never looked up a cream pie. I've only searched the same things. Old and young.
I've seen your sheets.
You'll never get over. You'll never get over my sheets.
Well, I mean, when you have blue sheets and your husband, boyfriend at the time, wipes his fingers on them after they've been inside of you, it's maybe good to wash them.
I don't know how that happened, but I think it's...
I do.
It's, yeah, we had dark gray sheets and Earl came over to film like a sketch or something.
Right.
And he was like, whoa, your sheets are disgusting. And I think you said they looked like tiger stripes from, like, cum.
Yeah, well, I wanted to put my Varvatos leather jacket on the sheets. I was like, oh, my God, this looks like a tiger has clawed the sheets with jism.
I have since only had white sheets.
It's better. It's like if you have doo-doo stains, wear brown underwear.
Yeah, but, like, who has those? Well, I guess guys do.
It happens.
Like, older guys, right? Or is it at any age?
I'm 53.
This is getting grosser and grosser.
I know. I
don't mind it.
We get into it.
Yeah, we're getting into it. That's why we're here.
But, yeah, I don't watch porn just because the close-ups, the guy's dick.
What if it was a wide shot and it not a close-up? Is it really about the angle?
If it was two hot chicks, and I just don't like the everything. You know, when I grew up, porn was VHS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't really see everything. Like, a guy's balls today look like they're at the moon. And the girl's privates look like that thing Boba Fett fell into in the Return of the Jedi. I don't want to watch that.
Yeah. It's too graphic.
Yeah, I don't.
It's like National Geographic.
Give me a Showtime.
Do you know X-Arts?
No.
Or something? That's like it's like all white, super like very sun-filled, a little more artsy. And
right.
Like it's like a higher level aesthetic.
Yeah, I don't need good acting, but it's the graphic nature.
The acting has never been good. Have you ever watched a porn and thought, I got to look this IMDb up?
I have, actually.
No way!
I like a little left to the imagination.
Yeah. Did you look at magazines, though, growing
up? Playboy.
Yeah.
Hustler was a little too graphic for me.
Oh, that's so interesting. So is that, like, a prude thing?
No, I just boils down to I need to imagine something.
Oh, you want to be a part of the creativity process.
Right. Like,
you don't want too much revealed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And with Hustler, it really, Penthouse as well, Ebony Humpers, barely legal. They were just too much. Like, I don't need the wide.
Yeah, you don't need to, like, inside someone's asshole.
Right. I need, like, Playboy, you know, big boobies. The legs aren't crossed. Like, they're doing calisthenics, you know. But everyone's different.
Yeah. Did you ever go to the Playboy Mansion?
Twice.
So how far did you grow up from there?
Not that. The Playboy Mansion's in Holmby Hills. Uh-huh. I was in Bel Air.
Okay.
But
that's close enough.
Yeah, I could walk to it.
Isn't that like 10 minutes away?
I'm by the Bel Air Hotel. Mm-hmm. And the Playboy Mansion's like maybe 10 minutes east of that.
So you were up that gated.
Yeah, I'm up the West Gate.
Love it.
Oh, it was the best. I hope to be back there one day.
Do you still have family who lives there?
No. My mom and dad moved to Florida in 88. My dad just said we're moving. Mm-hmm. Didn't even tell my mom. Sold the car.
What?
He's a weird dude like that.
That is. And did she object to it?
No. She was like, okay, I don't have a lot of friends here anyway.
So, what?
She was a recluse. I have very strange parents. I mean, they're both deceased.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Sorry to think.
Yeah.
But they were very strange people.
In what way?
Like, Dad was a complete morning owl. He'd get up at 5 a.m., go to church, play golf at Bel Air Country Club all day, go to Bel Air Hotel to drink with Harry Nilsson, the mm-hmm. very famous songwriter.
Yeah, Lime and the Coconut.
Right. People call him the Fifth Beatle. And then my mom would get up around noon, and she was nocturnal. She mm-hmm. just was awake at night. They slept in different rooms, but they loved each other.
I see that a lot. I think that's more common than not.
I mean, I never saw it so much so that when I spent the night at my friend Marcello's house for the first time, and he was actually the cop who busted George Michael, because he was a really good-looking guy when he grew up. And but when we were in, I don't know, 6th, 7th grade, I spent the night. His parents went in the same room. I'm like, what are they doing? And he's like, oh, they sleep in the same room. I'm like, gross. Like, I was like, nasty. So, you know, they were strange like that.
Yeah. And what high school did you go to again?
I went to Beverly High for one day. And then my mom pulled me out when she came to pick me up. When she saw, like, Porsches, Ferraris, you know, every nice car you can imagine was in that lot. And then I went to Notre Dame High in the Valley.
So why did she... But you already were living in a gated community in Bel Air.
I think she thought there was going to be a lot of drugs there.
Okay.
And that's the funny thing. There was more drugs at Notre Dame High than any place I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Coke, weed.
What part of the Valley is that?
Sherman Oaks.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So, you know, I don't think I was any less or more sheltered there than I would have been at Beverly.
Was that an all-boys school?
All-boys the first year, and then the dean called me in because I was a good kid at the end of the freshman year. He's like, what would you do differently about the school? I said, you got to get some chicks in here. I don't care.
Why was he asking you?
Because I was a great kid. I wasn't the best student, but I was like, no problems, no detentions, nothing. And sure enough, sophomore year, a girls' school had closed down, and they got in all those girls. So
that's a big deal to move an all-boys school into a co-ed school.
Because it was, you know, that first year, it was just awkward. It's just all dudes. Mm-hmm. It's like a typical movie you see of the 80s where it's just horny dudes, and then you get the chicks in there, and then it was, you know, pretty cool.
Did you play sports at all?
I played one day of high school football.
What's with the one day thing?
My mom was very protective.
Did she pull you out of that too?
She did.
What?
What else
did she pull you out of one day of?
Because
there has to be more.
Well, I was very, I think she thought of me as her last. I have 2 brothers, 2 sisters, so 5 total. I'm the baby. My oldest sister was the smartest person in her class at Stanford, so she's like really with it. But I think mom thought of me as like her last unsculpted gem that she could mold. So she didn't want me getting corrupted. And she saw there was a thing on the insurance slip for football, not responsible for death if your son died. Because people can die playing football.
Yeah.
And it stunted me socially because I was the same size since 4th grade. I've been...
How tall?
I'm 6'1", probably 195 right now, but so I was probably in fourth grade, 6'1", maybe 150.
Wow. So you're probably like one of the first guys to go through a growth spurt.
Well, they thought they were going to have to take out my pituitary
gland. What?
They thought it was going to be like 7 feet. They're like, you're growing too fast. I was like Andre the Giant in fourth grade.
Did kids tease you? Or
absolutely.
Like,
oh, I was bullied horribly.
Really? For what kind of stuff?
Just being bigger than everyone. You would think that would protect me from, you know, any bullying. But, you know, bullying back then, it's not like bullying today where it's online mainly. Mm-hmm. Bullying back then was in your face. Like, hey, you got a big fucking head, bro. I'm like, oh. And they would call me Elephant Man.
Oh my God. Horrible. Like the movie?
That was a big movie back then.
Yeah. So. Did you know David Lynch directed it?
Yeah. So, and John Hurt, I think, played John. I think that's his name.
I don't know. I saw it when I was little. It scared me.
Yeah. Well, so you imagine being in grade school with that hanging
on.
I cried a lot. I didn't have glasses in grade school. My vision got worse.
What about braces?
Braces, I had some jacked teeth. I was so embarrassed by my braces, they would call me Jaws from...
Jesus. Elephant Man, Jaws.
Well, Jaws from the James Bond movie. You know, it was the... he was the gigantic guy that could feel no pain, and he had these silver teeth that he could, like... kill anyone. Like that's what
it's
I had.
Kind of a badass reference.
Now it is, but you know, when you're, I don't know, fifth grade, fourth grade, and you're being told you look like the bad guy from, you know, The Spy Who Loved Me, it's not really a compliment.
Aww.
I cried like a lot.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to play football. And the one day I was dominating in practice. Like they'd never seen a kid this size before. And then I saw these two black kids come to practice. I'm like, what grade are you guys in? And they're like, freshmen. And I'm like, oh, I think my athletic career just ended. Because I'd never seen a kid my age, my size. Ever.
Oh, interesting.
And these kids were giant. Like 6'5". I'm like, oh, man. I thought they were adults. So it was probably better my mom didn't sign me up.
Do you feel like, oh, I wish I got to see that through?
I do, because I think it would have helped with chicks. Because I was a class clown.
Uh-huh.
But I think...
In your yearbook superlative?
Oh, I was...
because I was.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, like, officially. I wasn't one of those people who's like, oh, my God, I was a class clown. It's like, check the eighth grade yearbook. My name is there.
I mean, I was... during the talent show, every year, they would always chant, Earl, Earl,
yeah,
Earl.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess it was unofficially. But I think playing sports would have helped me with girls.
So you didn't get any play?
No, not in high school.
Really?
Well, I take that back.
Actually, you know what? I saw that picture that you posted on Facebook not too long ago, a younger photo of you, and you were so good looking. You're obviously a good looking guy now, but you looked so good back then, so I'm surprised that...
Well, I take it back. Sophomore year, I had the hottest girlfriend at Notre Dame High, but she went to Westlake.
Mm-hmm.
So no one believed me. It's like that Brady Bunch episode where Jan says she's dating George Glass. And,
oh, my God, I remember that. Wasn't that also in the movie? Because I remember the George Glass thing. That's so funny.
But Jenny Molina, who we still talk, like she looked like you, like, but in the 80s.
But and, you didn't get to bring her to, like, a dance?
Not really, because she was a West Sider, so back then it was a big deal. Like, West Siders didn't go to the Valley.
Real? Oh, so that was the thing, like that Nick Cage movie.
Oh, Valley Girl. That's what it was like.
Or Clueless, how they're, like, the Valley was so looked down upon.
It was more Valley Girl, but it was weird because I was a Bel Air guy. So
and didn't they know that?
Oh, yeah, because me and Jenny went to grade school.
Yeah.
So she knew where I was from, but her friend base was still West Side. And
that really meant something?
It sounds so stupid. But,
that's so interesting. I know. I wonder if you had kind of like that less than zero, like 80s.
Absolutely. That was my life.
Yeah.
I went to less than zero is like a documentary to me. Like, because every party scene I was at, like that kind of. When the TVs are on and Snow Machine and Palm Springs Getaways. I mean, I was like, oh, I did that. Because after high school, I found a little more success with women. And then the Comedy Store is...
Mm-hmm. What did you do after high school?
I was a private trainer.
Really?
Certified, legit, certified masseuse.
In Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
I could see you fucking older women doing that.
I mean.
That's so your vibe.
I mean.
And a masseuse. That's just someone who didn't get to touch anyone in high school.
But then it got creepy. Like,
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Because the guy from Rocky Horror Picture, Tim Curry.
Yeah.
Frankenfurter, I guess he played.
I never saw Rocky Horror, but I know Tim Curry.
Like, he's pretty legendary. Yeah. I had these billboards all up and down Santa Monica Boulevard with me posing like this.
Oh, my God. You did?
And I'm fucking jacked. Like, I never did steroids, but, like, I'm just had a net, you know, because I'm big bone, so.
You are?
Like, you know.
You don't seem big bone. You seem so lean.
I'm lean now, but, like my collarbone is big. So,
really?
So if I'm doing
Well, I guess this is broad.
Yeah. And so I, back then, this is right around the time of the Marky Mark, Calvin Klein.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I'm going to do an ad like that. And
so did you pay? Did your family pay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course I did.
Just like how we know how a certain mutual friend of ours, when they got a show and their billboard was everywhere, don't you think their family paid for it? Do you know who I'm talking about?
I think. Are you talking about? No, I don't.
You know who I'm talking about?
Are you talking about a comedy special?
No.
Okay.
A Hulu show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who knows?
I forgot who, but someone was like, you know that his family totally paid for that.
I mean, listen.
Come on, Earl. You said you were here to talk shit.
If I had the money, I would do that. Like, if I had that kind of money, I would, I call it the Animal Kingdom billboard. It's right by Pink Taco where you come around and you saw it when you were coming here probably.
Yeah,
that big billboard.
Yeah.
Also, hockey player Evander Kane cheated on his girlfriend and he felt bad, so he bought her that billboard for her modeling career.
Remember when James Franco had the billboard a little after Chateau that was like, hey, like, I'm, like, cool to women and had, like, a pin on.
Okay.
About, like saying he doesn't, like, sexually harass people.
I mean,
It's just funny how people buy billboards for other reasons.
I'm not a creep with women.
Yeah.
Probably about 40 comics who buy that billboard. Oh, sorry. I kept it too real there.
So you had...
So I had all these billboards, and, like, I forgot when I took the picture. Like, it looked like I had, a huge boner in the picture. Because I'm in my underwear. I'm just in my underwear. The guy dripped water on me.
Oh, my God.
And so it's really... I don't know if you can Google the. I've tried.
You don't have it still?
No.
Oh, I'm so surprised.
I've tried.
I would think you would have it blown up in your house.
I would if I could find
it. I know.
There is a prize. I know it's got to be out there somewhere. And so Tim Curry calls me up, I don't know, about midnight. And I can't do his voice. He's British, I think. And he's like, are you the man on the billboard? I'm like, yeah. He's like, do you do massage? And I'm like, not this late at night. He's like, this is Tim Curry, and I've got a bit of a belly. And I'm like, nah, dude, it ain't happening. And then the next day, a girl called me, said, do you do massage? I'm like, yes, I do.
So wait, at that point, were you a certified masseuse?
Yeah,
you
just I was legit. Anything I do, I put my full,
Did anything weird ever happen, though?
Like a
happy ending sort of thing?
Almost with a girl. Mm-hmm. She called me up and said, same story. Are you the guy on the billboard? I'm like, yeah. And
those work.
It was a great picture. It's kind of like my dick pic.
Yeah, that one
You've
photo.
You've seen it, right?
Everyone's seen that one Absolutely. Bathroom photo.
But it's a great picture.
You have
picture.
That one photo, and Jamar has that one photo, and it's almost like the same setup.
Right, and Jamar's constantly showing me his new dick pics. I'm like, dude, I don't want to see. His dick is gigantic.
It's so big.
Makes me look like a Chinaman. So the girl calls me, and because I have my home phone number on these ads. Home phone number on the ads. Like, it's insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm the guy. Do you do massage? I'm like, yeah. I could tell she was hot. You could just tell. And so she says, meet me for a drink at the Century Plaza. So I go there, and she was hot, amazing body. And she's like, well, let's go up to the room. And she strips down to nothing but a G-string and just a flawless body. I mean, just like, wow. And I was so scared and nervous, I literally massaged her for close to 3 hours. 3 hour massage, what the fuck? She fell asleep. But the whole time I'm massaging her, when she's on her stomach, she keeps widening her legs.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's the code.
Looking back, it's like, that's the code for, hey, I want more. And I was just scared, and I didn't do anything. And I didn't even get paid. I just left. She fell asleep. I was like, I just snuck out.
You didn't even get paid?
No.
You didn't want to wake her up? Because it was the pleasure was yours.
The pleasure was hers, I think, and then I went home and beat off.
Yeah, of course. So how long did that last? The training and the
couple years, and then I just realized I saw like a 60-year-old trainer once, and he looked miserable. And I'm like, I don't want to be this guy.
Yeah.
Even though I was like 30 or 25.
No, but
time.
I know what you mean, like those moments when you feel like you're seeing your potential future.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is, I mean, it kind of looking back, oh, yeah, what? Where do trainers, like, there's no really.
Like, where does it go from here?
You can get celebrity clients, I guess. But, I don't want that. And I knew I should be doing comedy anyway.
Yeah.
And all my friends who were like agents and like ICM, mm-hmm. William Morris, they were like, dude, you're funnier than any of our clients. And they had big clients. Just get in. We'll help you. And then when I got in, they all quit the business. Fucking bastards. Except for one.
You had been coming to the store, though, for like 20 years or something, right?
I started here in like 99, 2000. And then I saw Brody Stevens hosting Potluck. And he made an open micer cry.
He did?
And I can't do a good Brody impression, so I won't disrespect him. But this kid was bombing. It's no big deal. We've all bombed in that room. The OR's tough.
Yeah. Especially Potluck is such a...
And you grew up with the good Potluck. Like,
really? Oh, because it used to be so gnarly, right?
Potluck in 2000 was brutal. And so this kid's bombing...
Like, people would grab the mic out of your hand,
oh,
right?
If you were bombing, Don Barris or whoever was the host back then would just go, you suck, get off. Or, your intro would be, this guy takes it in the ass. give it up for Earl.
Yeah.
And so this poor kid was just bombing, and he leaves the stage. Brody's like, where are you from, man? And the kid kind of meekly looks back and goes, I'm La Jolla. And Brody's like, well, that drive just got a lot longer. And the kid, I've never seen the kid since.
Oh, so, wow.
I wasn't ready for that. Mm-hmm. So I didn't come here for probably 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm. So you're just doing mics elsewhere.
Yeah, booked shitty bar shows, open mics. And I got to be like the king of open mics. Like, people would come up to me and be like, hey, dude, you're like the Dane Cook of shitholes. This is when he was like gigantic. Mm-hmm. And then, so I got too comfortable being like the king of the idiots. And then I slowly started to come back here. And, I think in 2014 I got passed. And then, here I am.
When did you feel like you were finally ready to come back and, like, do Potluck? If you were in that for 6 years, I could see, obviously, anyone getting, like, so comfortable. So, like, if there was a moment that made you be like, okay, like, enough is enough.
I mean, I never actually ended up doing Potluck. I've never
done
Potluck to this day. Or friends and family. Mm-hmm. I think.
So then how did you get past from just hanging out?
I lucked out in 2011. I opened up for Rob Schneider at the Tempe Improv. And
that's how Adam saw you?
Yeah, it was me, Jeff Richards, and Rob. And I wasn't killing, but I was doing pretty good for the opener. I mean, you've opened, for like Josh Wolf or whoever, or bigger.
Joey, yeah.
You know, when you open up for like Joey or Bobby, they don't care how you do.
No.
Like, because Joey is going to do great.
Yeah.
Whether you bomb or kill.
Right.
But I was doing pretty good, and Adam was the manager there at the time. Mm-hmm. So when he came here, he remembered me, and I think me and Candace Thompson were the first two people he passed.
But you never went up here before for him?
No.
That is so funny. I didn't know that. I could have sworn I feel like I'd seen you do Potluck before.
I mean, I would do the band with Don Barish, late night, but Adam rarely. But to me, that was showcasing because I knew with Tommy anyway, he was never going to pass me.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam sometimes.
That's interesting because he passed so many horrible people and you're funny.
Well, I mean, and when I had him on the podcast, my podcast, He's like, yeah, man, I gave Adam your name. You were going to be the first one to be passed. I'm like, no, you didn't. You told Adam to pass Jeremiah, which is great. Yeah, like, you know, and he ended up passing anyway. So, but it's like, why are you still lying to me? You don't have to lie to me anymore. I'm in.
I love how he's like still commenting on Facebook, like his opinion on, like still.
I mean, you know, I think
still giving feedback.
I posted a lineup I was on, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks ago. And I think I was closing out the main room, which is a great spot. It's hard because, you know, they've heard everything, you know, for 2 hours. But it's like the Brody spot, Holtzman spot, Kennison spot. And Tommy was like, well, I would have put you up four earlier if it was my lineup. I said, you wouldn't have had me on the fucking lineup.
You had your chance.
Yeah, dude. You've had 5 years to pass me.
Yeah.
And you would have thought he would have passed me because we're both like 80s relics. And, but, you know, I still to this day don't know why he, you know, encouraged me when he had no intention of passing me.
Well, I guess you don't know that for sure.
I mean, I do, but like Adam, I think, and I think Emily's the same. They tell you the real deal. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I think Adam had told a few comics, what you do isn't for me. I'm not telling you not to come here, but, you know, you might want to look elsewhere.
I know. That must suck to hear.
But at least, yeah, absolutely.
But it's good to know the truth.
You know, like I had Jamie Flam when he was the Booker of the Improv. Maybe was it 5 years ago. He's like, dude, I love you. I know everyone loves you. I think you're really funny, but you're not a levity client. So I get like 3 spots a week to give out to non-levity.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So like, yeah. It's probably not going to happen for you here a lot.
That's a nice way to say it.
No problem.
Yeah.
I think if Tommy would have done that, he would have not had as many enemies as he has. So,
but it's weird how so many people who are quote-unquote hackers did get passed, I think probably under him or maybe who was before him?
Duncan.
Duncan.
Who I like the way just Duncan did it.
Okay. There's certain names that I see that I'm like, huh?
I mean, it's, you know, like giving John Caparillo 2 spots back to back. It's like, Jesus.
Who was doing that?
Tommy.
Okay.
I was like, oh boy. And then, and he's a funny guy.
No, I know that was like.
2?
Yeah.
And then telling Rob Schneider, come on potluck.
Instead like, of just giving him a pop in or pass,
It's like, what? Like,
that's weird.
He could fill a room.
Yeah.
I mean, when I toured with him for 4 years, and this is not an exaggeration, he never, not once, didn't sell out a room. And these were big rooms he's playing. So it's like, dude. Like,
did I tell you that my best friend dated his daughter?
Oh, and, Elle?
Yeah, Elle. And she has, like, a song, X's and O's, you know, that, like, popular song.
It's pretty dirty, right?
I'm trying to think about the lyrics. I think it's, like, insinuations.
Oh, okay.
Sort of. But I guess, well, the O's is, like, orgasm.
Right.
and like, yeah, and part of the song is about him, like, making fun of him.
I mean, yeah, I got the feeling that you know, maybe didn't have the best relationship at times, but I think they're cool now. But
Yeah.
I never really, you know, asked. It wasn't really my place to go, hey, how's it
totally. Life? No. So what's your obsession with Jeremy Piven?
I mean.
You're one of, okay, and will you just, when will you admit that you're stand-up Batman? Is stand-up Batman still active?
No.
Do you know who that was?
I have a good idea who it is.
Do you want to say?
Well, no, because if I, you know, it's like, you know, all the allegations that were flying around about, you know, Me Too stuff.
Uh-huh.
I don't feel comfortable saying who I think it is because it might not be. I know everyone thinks it's me, but I put my own name to stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I talk about Piven, it's like from at Earl Skakel.
Yeah.
If I talk about Jeff Ross, at Earl
it's
Skakel.
It's so funny how you, it's just so funny to see what you post because you are so forward and open about bashing certain people that it doesn't, it crosses the line of it becoming someone bashing, and it's just funny. Like, it becomes just, like, classic Earl. Like, you were able to, like, skip over that, like, weird line that's like, whoa, this person's, like, mentally ill, and they're, like, bashing, like, these people over and over. Like, you somehow, like, leapfrog that into a different territory. Do you know what I mean?
It's a skill.
It is a skill, but you're ballooned, not ballooned, I guess leapfrogged over to here. I don't know what ballooned is, but
no, tell me about it. I do. Well, I think I speak the truth.
Uh-huh.
So I think when you're talking truth, you can.
It's like there's such a level of ridiculousness to it, and I think 100%. That's what makes it funny.
I mean, I just think with Jeremy Piven, I don't know the guy. Like,
it's you don't know him at all.
But it's like he's in our world now. This is what
every
comics
time
do.
I would sign on Twitter and just see like another photo of post about you. It's just like
no. See, people. I used to not do it as much, and then people would send me these funny pictures of him, yeah. And I'm like, oh, that'd be funny if I, you know, I've had two interactions with him. First one. He bombed in the main room. Once again, no crime. I've certainly bombed in there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have.
Of course.
I mean, I think Joey Diaz said it the best. Everyone bombs in every room in this club. But he didn't have a good set. And we're in the back patio area. It's like a prison yard. He's got his posse.
Who's his posse?
It's a bunch of open micers who think they're going to get an entourage if they tell him he's funny. and then I've got my... I don't even have a posse, but people were kind of, you know, I'm like a father figure to a lot of people up here.
Yeah, Father Earl.
Well, I think they admire me for not quitting. You know, like I was an unsuccessful comic for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I get people, I don't know, look up to me.
No, everyone just loves you.
Not everyone, but...
really?
Well, we can get into that. But so he looked over and I think, and he would deny this, but this happened. I could tell in his head, he was like, who's this guy they're all talking to? Like, go up to this guy. And he just looks up at me and goes, hey, did you see my set? I'm like,
ew!
Yeah.
Hey, did you see my set?
And he slaps me on the back in a friendly way, like, I think I got this. And he kind of walked off smoking a cigar.
What?
Like, dude, you don't have it.
That's odd.
So that was the starting point of like, okay, this guy's going to... He's gonna get a little special.
Yeah.
And I just like if it's like if I got Me Too'd out of comedy and I just started showing up on film sets. Hey, I'd like to act. Like they look at me like.
Wait, did he get Me Too'd out of
his CBS show? He had some situations. And,
what CBS show? Some show.
Maybe 3 years ago.
Oh, okay. So that's why he started doing stand-up?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought he just showed up like how other people just show up. You know what's funny? I saw Chris Tucker bomb in the main room, and then I never heard of him doing stand-up again.
So and
I might be
everybody.
Wrong. It might be somewhere else that he's doing it.
I mean, someone like him who's like a huge star bombing probably is like, ooh, this don't feel good.
Mm-hmm, I know. That must be so hard for people who are such big comedic movie stars that, you know, the audience, of course, is expecting it translates.
Yeah.
They're funny guys. Of course, they're going to be funny at stand-up. And I think, it just really does not translate unless...
You have to put in the
work.
It's
a different skill. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can get that skill if you put in the work, but, you know...
Like, a lot of people just think they can go up and tell stories and talk and it's going to be fine.
You know, you have to, I mean, and Piven could probably do entourage stories, but the crazy
what
thing.
What does he do? Stories or jokes?
Neither.
Okay. He just talks?
You know, he does act outs, and it's like it's kind of a weird morphing of D'Elia and Dan Cook style of, you know, whatever. And it's fine. You know, he's booked still. Like, I just don't like his, I don't like people when they haven't paid their dues with a cocky attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, you know, no, you got to earn it.
Yeah.
So That's like, you know, when I wrote for Dr. Ken on the Baldwin Rose, he was out there every fucking night doing those jokes. He would call me from London at 4 a.m. his time. Hey, I just woke up. Can we go over the joke? Like, he put in the work, and he did really good. And there's other, you know, like Blake Griffin put in the work. You know, I don't know if he should have been on Roast Battle, but...
Yeah, it's random. I guess he was popular during that time, right?
Yeah, but I think to the people who watched Roast Battle, they didn't know who Blake Griffin was.
Right. I know he's an athlete.
He's a good basketball player, but he wasn't popular.
Just random.
Yeah.
Just a name, I guess. A random name.
But, like, he put in the work. Like, Tiana would bring him up here to practice his jokes, and he would just sit in the corner and wait. He, like, one night he waited 3 hours to go on in the belly room. And now you think this guy's worth $300 million. He's going to want to go. But, you know, he was respectful.
Yeah.
I don't like the comments, like, you know, Piven, who, like, just show up. I want to go on now. And, like, no, you got to wait, dude. Like,
right.
It's not how it works.
So has he ever respond? Do you tag him or no?
Yeah, sometimes.
So has he ever liked anything or responded? He just left it?
Well, and then the second interaction, I'm not going to say who called me. I was in that hallway upstairs in the OR waiting to go on. Roast Battle was going on. He was judging. I'm like, Earl, get up here right now. I'm like, why? Piven's up here, you know. It's a bad night for the battles. We save the show. So I go up there. And I
was there. I remember. Well, not in the room, but I remember, like, they wanted you to say something on stage.
They wanted me to get the room going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I thought he was in on it. So I go, oh, he's going to know who I am. You know, we'll do a little roast battle or whatever. And so I get up there, and, you know, I could tell he was lost. Like, I just remember looking over.
Wait, so you were saying shit. I can't remember.
I was like...
Wait, he must think you're so mentally ill. He's like, isn't that the guy from Twitter who stalks me? Like, now he's following me here. He, like, doesn't even know that you're a comic.
I had leather pants on, a Varvatos leather duster, you know, which is like a trench coat, basically. No shirt on. Yeah, I look like Leslie Stein from Blade.
I danced with him at a club.
I bet you did.
All I saw were his teeth.
Anyway, he is dark. I mean, Jesus Christ. He makes Jamar look like an albino.
No, like, it was so funny.
I just saw Blade for the first time.
Really? The first time?
At Hollywood Cemetery.
Yeah.
It was kind of...
Why was I so shocked? Really? The first time? I think I only saw it once when I was a kid. I mean,
I checked out with Wesley Snipes after Passenger 57. Like, that was, like, his shining movie to me. But, so I go up there, and they start playing the killer song, The Man. So the whole room knows what's happening except for him. Because I thought he was in on it. And so I throw him some baby jabs. Now, I had some intel from my sources at the Laugh Factory that when he's doing comedy, if the joke doesn't work, which is quite often, he taps the mic. Like, is this thing on?
Ew.
So he threw out a line that didn't work at all, and he starts doing the mic thing. I'm like, hey, man, this ain't the Laugh Factory. Our mics work here. And he looked at me like, oh, my God, he knows.
That's so funny.
And so, long story, I kept throwing him these softballs to hit me with.
Yeah.
So we get it going. And he's like, I don't know who you are, bro, but I'll kick your ass in the parking lot. And I'm like, well, why not right here? And so Jason Reitman's holding Piven down. Ross is having, oh, my God, Earl's talking bad about my buddy. It was like, I was told to come up here.
Yeah.
And then I got a call from Jeff like an hour later. Yeah, hey, why were you so mean to Piven? You were kind of bullying him. I'm like, it's Roast Battle. The whole show's based on bullying.
Yeah.
Hey, you're fat. You're a whore. Your nose is big. You're this. Like,
I know. That's why I would never want to do it. I just feel like there's so much stuff that people would say about me, and I just like did not want to be shamed.
Yeah, but with a pretty girl, I think it's different. You know, because what are they going to say?
But I have
you?
Such a crazy life past.
Right. Oh, you're a whore.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, but
that's like what they, that's, I guess, the go to for any girl.
Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, yeah, blah, blah, yeah. Blah, blah.
But it's like, there's worse things than being a whore.
Yeah. Is there? No.
Well, you got to get paid for it. Yeah. If you don't get paid for it.
Well, yeah. I guess it's better to get paid for it.
But I think, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think...
1,000 roses an hour.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
That's escort talk. I think anyone can do roast battle. It's not my sense of humor. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was kind of desperate for a TV spot. And, you know, I don't like calling someone else fat or, you know, your nose is this. But, you know, I sold out doing it.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
A lot of people did. And it was a great credit for a lot of people to have.
I mean, I think if you, like, I was 13 years into stand-up, so I was ready for the opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, I see a lot of the people who got like seasons 2 and 3, you know, they weren't ready. You know, they were maybe 3 years into stand up. So now they're asked to headline because they have a TV credit. And, you know, you don't have 5 minutes, let alone 40.
Yeah, but, it's,
you know,
odd.
That's, I mean, yeah, it's, but, you know, clubs are, they just want to be able to slap the Comedy Central logo on the flyer. And, you know, I don't think they think, oh, is this person actually funny?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not every roast battle comic sucks, but, like, a lot of them weren't ready for the stand-up opportunities. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah.
Like, Tiana obviously was, and, you know, Jimmy Carr, he's, like, one of the biggest comics in the world.
Mm-hmm. I love him.
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah, like, he's great. He's so sweet.
People think we hate each other because we had a battle. Uh-huh. And we said some pretty nasty things about each other, but, like, he's given me such good advice, and he's honest.
Yeah, he's very thoughtful, and he's helped me with jokes, too, before and stuff, and, like, I've had, like, a lot of great talks with him when he comes to town and stuff.
He's the complete opposite of his onstage persona.
Yeah, totally.
A pro wrestling bad guy. He's, like, very sweet, and I love him.
Yeah.
So,
any Motorhead stories?
Oh, yeah. Well, I used to date the female manager, co-manager of Motorhead, and I lived next door to Lemmy.
Mm-hmm. Where was that?
Well, I'm on basically the heart of West Hollywood, so Lemmy lived maybe a block west of me. So he would disappear.
Mm-hmm.
For long periods of time. And they would always say, Errol, you got to go over to his house to see if he's alive. And I didn't want to be the guy who found Lemmy dead. Like, you know, he was old at the time. And so one morning, and he'd always be with a black stripper at the pool. He would just disappear for 3 days. And he
partying.
Partying. The doctors told him, don't stop doing speed. Because it hit Lemmy's brain. He was regulating his body.
Mm-hmm.
And if he stopped, he would have...
His heart would be fucked. Yeah.
So in a weird way, speed was like a...
Whoa.
Like a vitamin for him. So one day they asked me to go get his mail. And they were on tour. And I'm like, well, where's the key? Oh, it's in the top dresser drawer. So I go over there. And Lemmy's apartment is... It's indescribable how much... He was a hoarder, basically. He had plants. It looked like a jungle. It's really impossible to describe. You couldn't see the carpet. There was so much stuff in this house. Books, video games, Hitler's China, pornographic magazines. So it was a mess, but organized for him. So I go to the top dresser drawer. I open it. Hundreds of Polaroids fall out. I'm unnerved at this point because it's an overwhelming smell of tobacco and weed, but like with the windows haven't been opened in years, so it's just all concentrated. So I'm frantically picking up these pictures, and I start to look at them, and it's like they're pictures of different girls blowing them. And I kind of like froze, and then I start looking at the pictures again. And realize I'm standing in the same spot where he's getting blown. And so I look around. I'm like, it's like it's happening again. I panicked and I froze. I I don't know what that's called, but like a panic attack, I guess.
Really?
Where I could not move my body. I don't know why.
Locked up.
Yeah, I locked. Yeah.
So do you have a fear of being in someone's place with cum around?
Yeah.
Because the sheets and now this, like the fact that your body would lock up realizing you're standing in. What was the fear in your mind?
I think it was because the overall atmosphere in this house was dark. It was a feeling of just doom. It was in this house.
Well, I thought Lemmy was God.
Lemmy was awesome, but like, you know, you got Hitler's China being Jewish, you know, like I'm sure there was a little bit of like bad juju.
It was like a weird vibe.
Incredibly weird vibe. So then the only part of me that was moving was my neck. So I was literally at the movements like RoboCop, where I could barely move. And then I look over there and I see a camera on a tripod. I I don't want to look at that. And then I look at, there's another camera with a tripod. So I'm standing where.
You're describing like a POV of a video game.
Yeah.
And like they're like.
There's like three cameras, tripod, two tripods, and a really nice bass over there. Like, because you know, he played these beautiful basses. There's a couple other stories like that. But there's a documentary Dave Grohl did where he went to Lemmy's house. I forget what it was called, but he loved Lemmy. Like, so much so that at the funeral, I was the usher.
Oh, wow.
Because my ex, I get along with most of my exes, really.
That's good.
All but one I have a problem with.
My exes blocked me.
Well, I mean,
what's up with that?
Well, you're hot, babe, so they don't want to see you with another dude.
Did you really think?
100%.
I felt like they thought it was because I'm, like, crazy or something.
You might be.
I was, like, a crazy girl. I'm not anymore today. Right. I'm, like, sober and normal to a degree. But, like, I don't know what normal is. Not normal. But, like, I think, I was probably, like, a jealous girl back then.
I've never once gone on my, the last three or four
literally
exes.
Literally three big exes blocked me.
I get the feeling you're not telling me the whole story.
No, I don't know.
Breakups? I'm not asking.
All of them are bad breakups. Who has good breakups?
Well, I try to.
Really?
I've
never had, yeah.
The last one was not not good,
yeah.
But, I've had to deal with some side situations because of that. But for the most part, I'm friends with all my exes. Now, that doesn't mean we talk a lot. Mm-hmm.
Does that bother girls that you date when they see that you're friends with your exes?
I think so, because I think they think, oh, you're just keeping them on the back burner in case we don't work out. And that's... It's just the way I was raised was treat women great. And, like you said, obviously, there are no good breakups. But I think you can have cordial breakups.
Amicable.
Especially, my last three or four girlfriends have been comics.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm around.
Mm-hmm.
Or comic writers. I'm not around lawyers or people who don't have entertainment jobs. So it's, and then the roast battle world, everyone's dating everyone on that show. So, it's like it's nasty.
I told you that you look like, Justin Theroux in Mulholland Drive, right?
I love him.
Have you gotten that before?
Because
he has his exact glasses, I think.
Gotten him in American Psycho when I never slick my hair back because I have a big head. In American Psycho, he had his stockbroker.
He was in American Psycho?
Yeah, he was one of the buddies. Oh. He's one of Christian Bale's stockbroker guys.
Oh.
So, because he has a jawline like
I
do.
I love him.
Oh, he's great. And, American Psycho is another less than zero movie. Where
love.
That was me and my friends
where
we'd all compare each other to, okay, Earl has a nice car. Well, what about his car?
Really?
And it wasn't business cards, but it was either cars or clothes. So that's why that movie.
Both are Bret Easton Ellis.
Yeah, I laugh. Yeah, that's, I never thought of that. Like, that's how my friends were in the 90s. Like, mm-hmm. they were just animals with women. So, and I got the leftovers.
Oh, wait, did I ask what kind of car you had in high school?
I had, and it that helped get me through high school because it was the nicest car at Notre Dame High. Mm-hmm. Now, this is 1986.
Okay.
So.
Wait, you're in high school in 1986?
Yeah. I'm old.
I was born in 87.
Oh, my God.
I'm a little cutie.
You are. I mean, you know, what can I say? I'm old.
Yeah.
I had a BMW bright red 318i.
Okay. Is that like a convertible?
No, it was just like what would be.
Red was a popular color in the 80s.
It was bright red.
Right?
Like this color.
Yeah.
And like every girl automatically, oh, Earl, can I get a ride to the football game? Whatever. So, you know, it helped me with women a lot.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, they like guys with nice things.
Mm-hmm. Did you walk into, like, 80s parties at, like, sick houses with, like, piles of coke out? Like,
oh.
did they really have, like, piles and piles of, like, I've only seen that one time. When I went over to a guy's place who was, like, expecting me and wanted to, like, hook up with me for, like, 3 days straight. And there was, like, a pot, like, but I feel like that's, like, so, like, what you see in those, like, 80s Bel Air kind of, like,
I vibes. Saw a lot of those type of parties. You know, it was really less than zero. Like, mm-hmm. I hate to go back to that, but it was just a different. You'd go to the club, and then the club was really the pregame to the house party. So you'd go to, like, a nice, like, what's now Bootsy Bella's.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be a place called Bar One. So you'd go there, you'd mangle, try and hook up on the dance floor or whatever. I was so bad at one point I would go to those places in gray sweatpants. Just to, you know, so we don't have to get in.
We love, girls love gray sweatpants. I'm saying we. I'm speaking on behalf of all
yeah,
of you.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
But you dance with girls.
Yeah.
It's just, it felt better in sweatpants.
Right, right. Oh, okay. I get it.
But, yeah. I mean, things could happen a lot more easy. And all my friends, like, were agents and managers, and all the door guys were actors.
Mm-hmm.
So we got in. It was very rare that three or four guys could walk up to a nightclub and get in.
Yeah.
And we had no chicks with us.
And everyone always talks about, Steven does, like, how L.A. house parties were so awesome, like, in the 80s and 90s and probably early 2000s.
I mean,
I don't know when it stopped.
In the 80s, and I think it stopped in the late 90s. Just, it was a lot more freer in the late 80s. You know, there was really...
no social media and stuff.
Yeah,
obviously.
So there was no fear of getting exposed if you were big. I mean, I was at some parties with some pretty big actors doing some pretty erotic things.
Like what?
Just, you know, orgies, basically.
Uh-huh.
So, but, you know, nowadays, you know, you got TMZ with moles everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, my friend works for them, and they are stationed at the Grove 24/7. If you
so
see
creepy.
Someone cheating on their wife with, you know, going into Nordstrom's with a blonde that's not their wife, tell us. And there wasn't back then, there wasn't that stuff. So
yeah.
I think there was a lot more people taking riskier chances without fear of getting caught. But nowadays, I could see why people, I don't know, I don't think people go to clubs anymore.
No, probably not. I mean, they suck.
Yeah, I mean, I went to one with Rob.
It's like a young person's. I remember I was at that club downstairs at the Roosevelt, and Stephen Dorff walked by and goes, I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, I mean, you do.
It's
like
a classic LA moment.
But he's right, though. Like, if you were in the club-going days in the prime that I was in, and I know everyone thinks their youth was the prime of whatever, but it really, clubs back in the day were, like, amazing. They were like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's just, like, anything goes. It's like the Playboy parties that I snuck into.
Were those fun or whatever?
The first time it was amazing because my friend Monty, who's now like this gigantic real estate agent, like he's like almost on a level of J-Lux, but with residential.
Love J-Lux. Obsessed with J-Lux.
I remember standing outside of Equinox once, and H&M was just going out of business. I don't know if the company did, but that H&M. Mm-hmm. And J-Lux, of course, had a sign.
It's crazy. Every single commercial property.
And I said to my friend who I was with, God, I wish I knew who J-Lux was. And I felt this presence to my left. And he's like, you're looking at him. So I actually got to meet him. And I'm like, how do you, like.
Yeah. I actually asked him to do my podcast, and he said he would, but we, like, never formulated a date, and I just forgot about it, honestly.
Well, I asked him, too. I'm like, because, and to the people who don't live in L.A., you're probably going, who the hell is J-Lux?
Yeah.
His name is everywhere, from Malibu to Hollywood to West Hollywood to Santa Monica. Any piece of commercial real estate, it's his. He must have 95%.
I don't know how he does it.
Which is why I wanted to have him on.
Like, I know. Dude, I'm like, I want to know what.
How are you this successful?
Yeah.
Like, he's like the Wayne Gretzky of commercial realtors. Like,
it's incredible.
So Monty is, there should be a reality show about him, especially back then. He's like, he calls me up at about midnight. He says, put your pajamas on. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, we're going to the Playboy party. Now, this was the lingerie party.
Yeah.
This was the first lingerie party Hefner had had in 6 years because he was married. So I think his wife was like, yeah, you're not doing that stuff anymore with me. And so they got divorced. So everyone wanted to go to this party. I mean, and you know, have you been to the mansion?
No, I never have.
That's very surprising.
I know. I always wanted to go.
Because it's great because if you're a dude and you can get in, it's literally the complete opposite of the real world, where at the mansion, hot chicks come up to you, like, because you're a rarity. Because it's probably 10 to 1, girls to guys. And I'm like, Monty, we're never getting in. He's like, we're getting in. So we pull up to the Playboy Mansion. There's 10 cars in front of us, 2 Secret Service people on both sides of the car. You're on the list. Beat it. Beat it. Beat it to the 9 cars in front of us. Guy gets to us, this hulking security guard. He looks at Monty, and Monty goes, yeah, slick back there. Pass us. We're good. The guy goes, all right, have a nice night, guys.
Wait, what? He just said, slick. Who's slick?
Just some imaginable door guy that never worked there. But it was the way Monty, now I know why he's successful in real estate. Because it was the confidence he said to this gigantic dude. Yeah, slick back there said we're good. And there was no one back behind us. There wasn't a car behind us. So we start driving up the, it's kind of a long driveway. And
were you guys like laughing when you made it past? Like,
You would have thought I won the Powerball. Like, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my. Like, I'm like, every.
You have a semi on the way up the hill.
Oh, it's completely rock hard. I mean. And we pull up, and we see all these people in clothes, like jeans or T-shirts or whatever, and no one's getting in. And the valet guy is like, you guys are good. I'm like, no one's getting in. They're like, no one. They're not wearing pajamas. You guys are. So
wow, that was so like a rule. Funny how strict that is.
And so we walk in, and the first thing I see are 3 of the hottest girls I've ever seen in my life, each one prettier than the next. Bra size is bigger than the next, and they just look at me and go, who are you? And I'm like, oh my God. Monty, I'll see you in about 6 hours. And it's just like the most amazing experience, like food. I don't drink, but you know, 10 bars, Vince Neil running around. And I'm like, if I'm at a party with Vince Neil, this is a good party. You know, TVs and the walls and the zoo and it was just like.
Did you hook up with anyone?
I made out. I'm not gonna lie. And then you know, the second night was the Halloween party, which it was fun. But the first time was, it was just like a fantasy land. Like I still have trouble. It's like the most beautiful people on earth, and there are not that many dudes. Like. You know, there's, I guess.
What year was that?
This was 2019. No, I'm just kidding. This is probably 98-ish.
Because I feel like that's like the prime time. Because I did hear that it started to kind of like fall apart. Do you remember seeing that Vice article that came out about someone who went to it and they just like trashed it?
Yeah.
And took all these photos. So like about how outdated it was and like gross. And like, so I'm assuming probably when you went, it was at its highest point.
Well, I think because it was the first one they'd had in a couple years, mm-hmm. It might not have been 6 years, but it was definitely like 3 to 5 years. There was an energy of every actor in the world was trying to get into this party, every athlete, every King, Laker, Charger, Ram, even the LA Lasers indoor soccer team. Like, everyone wanted in at this party. So, I'm still stuttering over. Like, it's the nicest house you've ever been in, mm-hmm. with the prettiest group of people you've been in a room with. Even the dudes are all, like, every dude there, other than me and Monty, were, like, celebrities of some sort. So people just lumped us in with them. And I think I told the girl I made out with that I was in Kiss. Because it was the perfect lie. Like,
and she wouldn't have known.
Oh, she was like, she didn't know what the hell was going on.
That's so funny. She's like, oh my God, I thought that was you without the makeup.
Yeah. She's like, hi, my name's her name was Strawberry Shortcake. I'm like, what's with the code names? Like, I think I told her my name was Michael Fitzpatrick and Monty was Patrick Fitzmichael. So stupid.
Just a part of the fantasy.
We don't need to use real names.
Yeah, that's so fun. I went to a crazy party at Sasha Gray's house that was like less than 20 people.
What?
And I was like waiting for it to get crazy. And I don't know if she's still married to him, but at the time she was married to like a French or Italian guy. What? So it was like mostly all Europeans. And like they were all just like partying and like blowing whistles and like dancing to like tech, you know, just very like Euro. And I was like, what is this, you know? And then all of a sudden, like the music shifted and the lights like changed and everyone started gathering in the living room. And one of the girls there was a porn star.
Oh, lovely.
And they took out this like machine that was like, I don't think it's like a Sibian, but like a motorized dildo. And she just got on all fours in front of everyone at the party, and it just started fucking her. And everyone filled up a bowl with dollar bills and poured it all over her. And I was like, okay, that's what I thought would happen here.
That
was, like, pretty, like, wild, though.
I mean, I've been to some situations like that. I mean, I went to a party once at Shane Black's house, who wrote Lethal Weapon and Predator. He's actually in Predator. He was the first guy killed. And he had a nightclub in his house.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Nothing wacky happened. I mean, he must have just written a bad movie or something, because he was, like, at his own bar, just, like, like face down on the bar. I'm like, I thought, I'm going to make him feel better. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, Mr. Black, I do a killer impression of the Indian from Predator. Can I do it for you? And he looks at me and goes, no. So I did it anyway, and he laughed. Well, if you've never seen the movie, it's like you don't. This is why my comedy career is probably stalled, is I can do an impression of the Indian from Predator. Like most people, like Melissa Villaseñor does an impression of, I don't know, Lady Gaga, Jeff Richards, I don't know, Dustin Hoffman.
The guy with the animals.
Right. What's I'm Jeff Dunham.
No. The one who's, like, described.
Oh, Jack Hamm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you've ever seen the movie Predator, you think, wow, this is an amazing impression. But yell action, because I'm a method actor.
Action.
Major, you better take a look at this. Blaine's body, it's gone.
So his name's Sonny Landham. He's dead now, but, you know.
Wow.
I mean, I made Shane Black laugh at his nightclub.
That's fun. Yeah, why not?
I mean, I went to so many parties like that. You know, one of the Murdoch kids' houses in Bel Air, which...
Fucked them.
Good for you. Justin? Oh, sorry. Randolph. Never mind. This house was...
His house is sick.
It's probably the same one.
Insane.
It's in Bel Air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got lost in the driveway because it was such a gigantic house. And we're in this house. I'm like, this is the most beautiful home I've ever been in. It was the pool house. It wasn't even the main house. Like, this pool house had, like, a 300-inch TV and marble everything. And I'm like, wow, the main house must, like, it was like, wow, this is money.
Yeah, it was insane.
So, but, you know, I don't think you get those parties anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because one, I don't think people want people in their homes anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess because of COVID, you mean?
No, I mean, just like the last couple years, like, I can't recall the last house party I've been to.
I've been to, like, some crazy celebrity parties, but it did really feel like when I first moved here in, like, 2013-14. And I don't know if it was because I was younger then and more, like, out and about and would get invited to stuff like that, because I certainly don't get invited to stuff like that anymore. And I don't know if it's because I'm, like, married or, like, just older, and it's, like, you have to be in your early 20s game sort of thing.
I mean, I would say in your case, it's probably, you know, guys are animals.
Yeah. I get it. I get it.
They don't want
no big deal. Some married chick, you know, with a kid.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, do you want to invite the pregnant girl?
Can you bring your friends? So, I mean, I the Comedy Store really has morphed into, like, obviously the number one club in the country, but it's a good party vibe. Like, mm-hmm. I've had more funner times here.
But it definitely changed. The vibe here is a little different.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think it's coming back slowly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've noticed the last few times I've played here that the patio's a little more filled.
Okay, because the last few times I was here, it was just very empty.
Well, I think the showrooms are packed, but mm-hmm. the hangout factor, I think people are still waiting.
Like, yeah.
I think there's two groups of people. I think there's that group that's in the showroom that they want to be around other people. And then there's that hangout group.
Run band.
That's waiting, though, to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I saw Red Band in Austin. Like,
yeah.
And I, you know, Austin's like the Wild West. Like, mm-hmm. no mask.
I've never been there.
I mean, I would go back. I wouldn't move there. But, mm-hmm. You know, everyone's different. Like, the people who have moved there that are still there, they love it.
Yeah.
Red Band loves it. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got a great house. You know, he does, I think, 2 or 3 shows a week at that place.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so, but I'm an L.A. guy, mm-hmm. so.
Totally. Have you lived anywhere else?
No, I don't think I ever will.
Yeah. I could see you in New York, but
I've thought about, not seriously, because, like, I love the Comedy Store. Like, it's the number one club on earth.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would love to have that New York experience of doing 5-6 shows
mm-hmm.
where you can walk,
yeah,
get paid
cool.
for them all. You know, the few times I've done comedy in New York at, like, The Stand,
mm-hmm.
they have, like, these satellite clubs that you can walk to, and you can do – I know they say Mark Norman does, like, 10 spots a night.
Really?
You can't do that in L.A.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done, like, 4 spots a night. There.
And that's if you're, like, and probably gotten paid for what, maybe one of them? I mean,
I can't even remember.
So.
Probably, like, yeah, one, maybe.
You know, I mean, I'm so in love with the store that I'm good with just one spot here a night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that, but, like, you know, whatever I get. But, like, sometimes, like, I'm a workaholic, so I'll go up 10 times a night if I could.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, it's. 6 and
well,
one.
We got 3 rooms here, so
yeah.
We got that going.
Yeah, no, you got, I mean, the main room, closing out the main room is, like, the best, one of the best experiences I've ever had. Just
wow.
Because it's an honor to, mm-hmm. when you think of, like I said,
mm-hmm.
Kennison, I certainly don't compare myself to him, but, like,
no,
he
yeah,
did get
it's
that
a legendary
spot. And it's a hard spot because
yeah.
it's, you know, when the second to last comic says, hey, there's one more comic.
Mm-hmm.
You could see the crowd going, okay, I'm going to give this guy 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. But there's also a whole other group of people who, like, are just dying to see as much as they can.
Right.
And they want to just, like, stick it through. And they might just be too tired, but, like, they still want to just watch.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, you've got a few minutes to grab them.
Yeah.
Or otherwise, they're looking at, okay, there's an exit there. Then it's like an airplane. Like, there's the exit there and there. Like, this guy's not good. We're gone. But I love it. So, you know, but it's definitely to do like 40 or so minutes in that room. It's like a huge honor. So
totally. Well, Earl, thanks for coming on the episode. Podcast.
I reached out to you. I can tell you, I've asked under 3 people to do their podcast.
Really?
Just because I don't like that many people. But I love you. Keep it real.
Yeah.
And we didn't even really go that nuts today.
Like, no, we didn't. No.
You know, I've done some podcasts where I've gotten in trouble. So
I'm already thinking back on a couple of things I said. I'll talk to you about them when we stop recording.
Well, and I know these guys are like, all right, wrap it up. But, like, I think if it's true, you're good. Like, that's my thing. I don't talk shit.
Yeah.
You know, I had a girl come up to me recently and said, I love how you talk shit. I'm like, I speak the truth.
That is, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So I think, like, with the Piven stuff, I can't tell.
I don't care about that.
But, I mean, I've had many.
That's more funny.
But I've had so many comics come up to me and go, dude, we love it because he's such a tool, but we can't like it. I'm like, why not?
It felt very lovingly, though.
I mean, I'm welcoming him into the stand-up
world. I like them all. Yeah.
I'm like, dude, this is what we do. We bust balls.
Totally.
I know you're a big star. And he is. Like, he's a, you know, I loved him in Heat. You know, I didn't watch Entourage, but he was in one
teen. You're great in Entourage.
I think I saw him in Lucas. I think he was in Lucas.
I don't know if that is.
It's a teen angst movie from the. So, like, dude, we're busting balls.
Yeah. Having fun.
Yeah. It's no like, big this deal. This is the comedy store. Like, it's
you
got to
get
do.
Him on your pod.
You know, that would break the internet.
I know.
If we sat in a room. But I don't think he likes being made fun of. You know, and because he's like, I'm a great actor. Why are you making fun of me?
But he's a comedic actor.
Yeah, he's good.
It's not like he's a dramatic, as far as I know.
I mean, he was pretty good in Heat. You know, he has a small scene with De Niro in Heat. You'd say it was kind of humor.
Yeah.
A humor-based scene. But I think as long as you speak the truth, you're good. Like, I don't regret one thing I've said about, like, Roast Battle or any particular comics, you know, just because I speak the truth.
Yeah. Well, let us know the name of your podcast.
It's Inappropriate Earl. It's on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud. I had a little issue getting shadow banned, but I'm back. situation with some phony followers that, you know, it was out of my control. Do we have 1 minute to tell the story?
Yes, yes, please.
So I'm at this Hollywood party, and it's the type of party where everyone's successful. Like, even the maitre d' has a holding deal. Like, the maid has a development deal with Miramax. And so this publicist comes up to me. He's like, dude, I'm a big fan. I love your work. I want to work with you. I'm like, well, just sign me. He's like, I can't do that. I'm like, why not? If you're a big fan. Like, well, like, I don't understand that. He's like, well, dude, frankly, and I was thinking of as 49 at the time. He's like, you're just too old. Like, I could bring you upstairs. You know, when they sign someone, they have a big meeting with all the, they're just going to say, dude, we got a 10-year career out of this guy, Tops. We don't want to invest in him. And he's like, okay, well, I'll just work with you off the books. It's like, I love the podcast, but the numbers aren't that good. I'm like, I know, I'm a one man operation. I'm not on a network, and I just do it. I book it. I edit it. Everything's done by me. He's like, well, you know what you have to do? You have to enhance your followers. I'm like, well, I don't want phony followers. Like, that defeats the purpose of saying, hey, I'm at the comedy store tonight, and then a bunch of fake bots show up. Like, and he said, well, everyone does it. So he told me about this service that people use, and I talked to this person, and I'm like, dude, just don't overdo it. Like, you know, keep me in the
face. Does that include comments and likes and followers?
No, just listens.
Oh, listens. Yeah. Ooh.
So I'm like, and when the guy's telling me this, I'm like, dude, I really don't want to. Like, I felt like I was a natural bodybuilder competing in Mr. Olympia. It's like, dude, you either start juicing or you're just going to finish in dead last every year. So I sold out, and, you know, he's like, everyone's doing it, bro. I said, ballpark it to me. Out of the top 100 podcasts, and iTunes Comedy. At the time, it was called iTunes Comedy. How many people are doing it? He's like, 70%.
Oh, I remember this, actually.
Yeah.
Is this when you were like number three on iTunes?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. So I told the guy, so the guy gives me the number, and I'm like, and I'm begging this guy at the party. I'm like, are you sure I have to do this? Like, he's like, dude, 70% are doing it. If you want to be in that top, you either do it or you get the numbers you're getting. And it's like, okay. So I talked to this guy, and I'm like, oh, dude, I don't overdo it. Keep me at like 60 to 80. It's pretty good. And so, paying the money, a couple weeks go by for it to kick in. I'm like, number 65, that's pretty good. I'm getting offers of stand-up spots on the road. And then I get a call on Saturday morning. I'm getting hundreds of calls. But 20, probably 20.
Four.
Check out iTunes. Yeah, probably. It was at least 20.
One was your mom. No, sorry.
From the
sorry,
grave.
Sorry,
it's
sorry,
all good.
Sorry.
It's all good. Too soon. I'll say it was 30 phone calls on a Saturday afternoon. Check iTunes. I'm like, and I knew. I check, and I'm like, number one.
It was one?
Yeah, number one. I'm like, dude, oh, I God. Call the guy frantic. Like, what are you doing? no one's going to believe. Like, Rogan's got, like, the president of, I don't know, Elon Musk.
It was the week that, Maron had Obama on.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, I'm like, Maron's got Obama on, Rogan's got Elon Musk, and I've got the fourth bass player from Dawkin. No one's going to believe it. And he's like, no, dude, go for it. I'm like, no, dude, it's too late now. It's over, Johnny.
How long does that last?
Until you stop paying the guy. And then I'm like, dude, I like
it. Yeah. No, but how long do you stay at one?
I think that was for like 12 hours.
But you get the screenshot.
Oh, yeah. I took full advantage of that.
So then what was that? So then you post the screenshot. Well,
and then I go to number one in Australia. I'm getting calls from like the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Hey, do you want to headline this gala?
Yeah, and I heard it's amazing there.
I really want to.
In Australia.
Because my first roast battle in Montreal was against Tom Ballard, who is this legendary Australian comic. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, dude, you got to go there. They'd love your humor. But I just, I haven't yet. But so that was my, why I got shadow banned.
But shadow banned from where?
Shadow banned sucks because when
I know about that for Instagram, but you were shadow banned from where?
From, now it's Apple Podcasts, but back then it was iTunes Comedy. So, like, back when I was rolling, and you just put in I, Inappropriate Arrow will pop up.
Oh.
Like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I did
yeah.
get, I benefited from the standpoint of I did get some real listeners because people, they'd see, oh my God, this guy's ahead of Burr and Rogan. Let me check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you do kind of build an organic following, but like, the numbers are definitely fudged. But then when you get shadow banned, you could type out inappropriate EAR and inappropriate still won't pop up. Like you have to type out the whole, thing. So, but now I don't know how long they...
How do you get out of that?
I think you just wait.
Ugh.
I tried to get a few comedy managers on back. Like, can you call them? And like, their iTunes, Apple Podcasts, they're not very helpful with stuff like that. And I get it. They're probably like, fuck you, guy.
Right.
you tried to... I was like, well, everyone's doing it. Or most everyone.
I know, because I see podcasts sometimes on there that I've never heard of, some random ass. And I'm like, this person's not number six.
Well, I had a friend of mine who we both know. He's like, I'm going to do it, man, just to be an asshole.
Yeah.
And like, he paid for like the top. He had three episodes out. Mm-hmm. And he was number 15.
15?
15 overall in comedy.
Yeah.
But
how much is it? I'm not doing it.
Oh, no. I mean, it's probably like $500 a month.
Okay.
I guess they just hack into I have no computer knowledge of codes.
You look like you do.
yeah, I know. You'd think I would, but I have to have Ari Manis come over and set up my podcast. It was, I don't know. I would kind of do it. I wouldn't do it again, but like when you find out, You know, because I remember when I was a kid, I used to follow bodybuilding a lot. And there was this one guy, Mike something. He would always finish like 18th or 19th in the Olympia. And I'm like, well, how come he's not doing better? It's like, oh, he's the only natural one. Like, he wouldn't do it. He didn't care. So, I you know, I'm embarrassed to say I did it, but.
I think everyone does a little smoke and mirrors to a degree.
Oh,
girls
yeah.
get stuff injected in their face. Isn't that like a similar? Everyone's just trying to present their best self.
Well, I think in comedy, you know, the more followers, like when I signed with my voiceover agency and they're the top agency, the first question they asked me was, how many followers do you have? Now, luckily, my social media is all legit followers. Like, I've never paid for followers or whatever, but, you know, I thought about it. Sure.
Yeah, I could tell a lot of girls I know do.
I mean, I know a few comics.
Because it's like when they post something and then all of a sudden they have like 1,000 likes and like 30 comments. And I'm like, no one's following your life.
Or you can tell it when they have like 50,000 followers, but yet three likes.
Yeah.
Okay, that doesn't.
Yeah. I know someone like that who's like runs bringer shows and they have like 30,000 followers and their name is like the real blank. Yeah. And then there's like 2 likes.
I know. Come to the dime bar. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you do what you do. Like, you know, I certainly know, we both know people, Instagram followers of like 50,000. It's like, what?
Yeah.
You can't fill the belly room.
Like, right.
So, you know, everyone do what you got to do.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. I love Chelsea. This girl's like the we've been friends from day one. I've never creeped on her.
Never. Why do guys always like, it's so funny how some guys always go, I've never been creepy to you.
You have to these
days. No, but
days.
It wasn't weird when you just said it, but I had someone say that to me recently and they're like, I never hit on you. And it was like, congrats, dude. Like, what a weird thing to say. It wasn't weird when you said it because I know you and you're not a fucking weirdo. But when certain guys do say that, it's odd.
Well, I think you know,
but you're not, that wasn't to say that your comment was not like that.
Well, I've never been creepy with women.
No,
like,
no, you're not a creep. No one would ever describe you as a creep.
But I think,
you know what's weird, it's like, I'll tell you after,
we're all navigating this new era of you know, I give side hugs, you know, only now, like, you know, just because I'm like, I don't, you know, I used to hug all the waitresses and, you know, hug Jen the manager.
Yeah.
And now it's like, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
Like, nice to meet you.
Totally.
Because, you know, one rumor and you're done. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, hey, Earl hugged Chelsea. I'm like, what? Like, she's pregnant with Rachel. Like, what are you talking about?
So. Yeah. All right. Thank you. I just want to talk to you off camera.